Intervju Radia Student. I'm the king of the beat and nobody man like me. I'm the pearl of the town, everybody get on down. En lep dober dan, želimo še z tega intervjuja Radia Študent. Z nami sta dva protagonista današnjega 21. večera elektrolize, ki se ima zgoditi v Channel Zero ob 22. Channel Zero seveda na Metelkovi. Gre za pač nadaljevanje serijalke elektroliza, kjer bosta danes gostovala legendarni Egyptian Lover, človek, ki ga poznate po hitu iz leta 84, Egypt, in če ga ne, ste zamudili del glasbene edukacije, in njegov kamerat, ne, majemijski elektro heroj in MC Jamie Jupiter, ki s katerim se poznata že svojih 25 let, in boste skupaj servirala tlele en elektro, ta prav old school elektro v prostorih Channel Zero. Tako da zdaj bomo mi prešaltali, 8 evrov je do polnoči in 10 evrov je po polnoči, če bo še kaj placa. Prešaltali bomo na angleščino in kakšno povedali, vmes pustili malo muske, tako da dobite malo pridiha, kaj se ima danes zgoditi tam. Hello to you guys.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello.
You're on a short trip, so just a couple of gigs.
Yes, short tour, we got about 4 or 5 shows and go back to Los Angeles into the studio and record my new album called 1984.
It's on your label.
Yes, Egyptian Empire Records.
Yes, everything you're making is on.
Gotta keep it all, baby.
Okay. You two are actually a pair for like last 25 years.
Oh yeah, we've been friends forever.
Forever?
Yes.
So your role is to be an MC in that part.
In this part now.
Yeah. In this part, yeah.
It's my hype man.
You're
on stage and hype the crowd up.
And you don't MC no more.
Oh yeah, definitely. Huh. I get out in front of the turntables, we both do our old school dance steps and we do our thing and we get the party going. We do both.
Okay. Your relationship with Los Angeles electro scene is really big, actually. Right. You're one of the beginners.
Yes.
The root of all evil that comes from LA. But you met actually all these guys. You were playing with Ice-T.
Right.
So how was on that scene during the beginning of the 80s?
Well, in the beginning, there was a organization called Uncle Jam's Army, and they were huge. They gave dances for like 2,000 people. And I joined them with them, and we started getting bigger and bigger because I was such a great DJ. And we started doing parties for 10,000 people. So all the other organizations like the World Class Wrecking Crew and LA Dream Team, they tried to copy and emulate Uncle Jam's Army. So they started doing clubs and stuff bigger than they were normally doing. Then once we made a record, they made a record, and they just followed our footsteps, and that's how LA, you know, the scene was born.
But Uncle Jam's was
that? Uncle Jam's Army was the number one dance promoter. So before I got with them, I used to just go to the parties and just dance. And then when I joined with them and became a DJ, that's when they elevated even higher.
How big was that? Was that like
humongous?
In 10 or 11 clubs at the same time, or
we used to do different clubs every week. We would start small, like doing 200 people club, then 500 people, and then 700 people, and then 2,000 people, then the ultimate 10,000 people at the Los Angeles Sports Arena. And it was unheard of at the time, but Uncle Jam's Army pulled it off.
But you're kind of main man. When we were talking about production, about works out of Uncle Jam's, you were
the main guy. Yeah, I was the main producer.
You were the producer. You were the one who actually have a record label back in the 80s, your own record label.
Yeah, we started our own record label because we didn't want to get ripped off by any other record label. So we started our own, only really to keep the record in Los Angeles, but it just picked up because it was such a great record. It just picked up on all the radio stations, and more and more people's radio stations start playing it across America, and then it spread over here and all over Europe and UK and everywhere. So it's like really shocking to see that the record that's over 28 years old still getting heard all over the world and being here today. It's just amazing.
You're actually an inventor of live editing. So
oh, yeah.
do you have something to say about it? Because I heard like rumors when we were in New York. The old school guy said, yeah, there was like Egyptian Lover in LA and he has like the whole equipment with him. So turntables, drum machines.
Well, it was just, it was a drum, two turntables, and I can actually mix the records like I'm doing live editing, tape slicing, but I'm actually just using records. And then I would play the drum machine and just breathe on the beats. Because back then, there really was no instrumental or beats on records. So just playing the drum machine sounded like a new record that people never heard, and they just dance and party like crazy to it. So doing my live editing with the turntables is that one of the tricks that I created. And tonight at the club, I will be doing that and showing off my skills before I actually perform and play the drum machine tonight.
And it's basically those tricks that made Egypt the DJ, the first superstar DJ in Los Angeles. So all the DJs in the area used to come to Uncle Jam's Army to watch Egypt do the tricks. If you were a DJ and Egypt did the tricks and you didn't acknowledge it, then basically you were hating. So we just stood around just to see what type of things he was gonna do next. And it was incredible, always incredible. And to be, at that time, I was like 17 years old, to see that, man, it was incredible. Egypt has been my friend from then, 17 years old, and I'm still with him today, and he still amazed me with some of the things that he did. It's crazy, so.
And sometimes I'll be doing a show and I'll be mixing and I'll look over and he'll be going crazy like, dang, that was a good mix, that was a good mix.
And it feels like back in the days, always.
But do you see yourself as like West Coast Africa Bambaataa?
I guess a lot of people say that, but I just say, hey, I'm just a party rocker. I'm gonna do what I wanna do to make the crowd rock, to make the party dance. Keep the people dancing, and I'll do anything I can do. And that's what I am. But I've heard a lot, though, the West Coast African Bambaataa, the West Coast Cool Herc, you know, because I was the first one to start mixing and scratching in L.A., and that was it.
What about the success of Egypt, Egypt?
It was just humongous. It was mind-blowing. So.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Did you have something out of it? Was it a money issue or... It was just like you were getting a lot of gigs out of this song,
oh,
or
no,
both.
I just made it for the love of the music. So I made it because my name was Egyptian Lover. I made it as to promote my name in Los Angeles, and never thought it would pick up across, you know, all the other states in America. But it just became a big dance club anthem, and from then on, we've just been riding its coattail.
That's a gold record, actually.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. What about LA Club Radio? You were spinning there with Ice-T.
Right,
well,
Ice-T in the club.
With Ice-T?
We're friends back from Uncle Jam's Army days. He used to come to the parties and want to rap on the mic, so we let him rap on the mic. And then when they had a smaller underground club, they asked me to come down and DJ, and I can play whatever records I want to play, and I don't have to have a program like I did with Uncle Jam's Army. I could just come to this club and play whatever I wanted to play. So I just brought the drum machine down there and just almost like practice, just play different music and show off my skills, and everybody there just seemed to be free loving people and just love the music. And so it was totally different than Uncle Jam's Army, but it was all happening at the same time. And then we did the documentary called Breaking and Entering, and that's when that whole thing became big in Europe because they saw the movie.
Okay. What about your relationship with Dr. Dre? That there are some rumors about you were actually kind of a guy who introduced him to the scene, or
mentor. Yeah, definitely a mentor to all the Los Angeles DJs and producers, because I was one of the first ones to do it. But Dre and I, you know, we're friends. We used to hang out back in the day, going paint gun shooting and stuff like that with Arabian Prince. And Russ Barr was a radio personality, the LA Dream Team. We all got together and played paint gun shooting, little wars and stuff. So, and Dre's real cool. I'm glad he's still doing his thing and blowing up, you know, doing it good. I'm proud of him.
But all those guys, sorry.
Just like you, but I don't know if you was going to say this or not, but again, all those guys being DJs, they looked to Egypt for their inspiration. They'll tell you too.
Yeah.
They will tell you to this day that Egypt was the one who really inspired most of them.
Yeah, I lit the fire in LA to make everything happen.
But you kind of stayed in that electro direction, but most of those guys went into like right. classical hip hop.
Well, I stayed where what I loved. It wasn't something that I'm doing to make money. I'm doing to just do it because it's the hip thing. I did it because this is me. This is what I love. The 808 drum machine and the beats that I programmed, that's part of me. So I'm putting out me. So anybody else who came out with a record that sounded like that actually was emulating me. Then they went on and moved on to other things because that's what they did. But I didn't move on because I'm just doing what I love, and what I love is this kind of music. So what you're hearing in the background right now is something that I love. No matter if it came out in 1983 or 2011, it's what I love, and this is the kind of music I'm making.
So actually you have one whole music style, and then it branches at that point. You got West Coast rap just separating, going gangster rap on one side, and then the electro funk or electro style rap kind of went another direction.
From LA.
Yeah. But you're actually spinning those old records
yes.
now in
all
the club?
Yes, everything
something?
I played with Uncle James Army back in 82, 83, that's what I'm playing now when I do my shows. And then I play my own records and we perform my own records.
How do you see this development of electro? Now you have totally different
right.
Possibilities,
right.
you know. You can just have
right.
a computer and make a beat in like 30 minutes.
Hey, whatever way you can make some music, go ahead and make some music. But I like the old analog pure sound compared to the new digital sound. And I like back in the day when you had to have money to go to the studio to record the record. I mean, you must have something good if you put the money up to record this record. I mean, you went in there with 100%, I'm going to make a record, instead of just sitting at home, checking your emails and making a beat and putting it out. You have to have your whole mind and body to make this record in the studio, because you know you're paying money for this. It has to be right. But when you're at home just doing it, I think it's kind of half-assed, and it's not really 100% the whole thing you have to do.
What about the vinyl? You think the vinyl is dead or will be dead in a couple of years because
nah.
of all those Serratos and stuff?
Well, I still play vinyl live in my sets, and I think the people appreciate it. It sounds better to me. It's a show. When people see the labels on the records, they actually like it. When you're playing with Serato, it looks like you're just playing the actual same record, and then you check your email, and you're playing the same record, and you check your email, and you play the same record, and you check your email. It's kind of boring to me. But when you're actually digging in the crates, and you're pulling out that record, and you're mixing it, and you're flipping the record over, and you're putting the needle on, and I can play the record backwards, you know, it's just a lot of tricks that I can do with vinyl that other DJs can't do, so maybe that's why they went to Serato. But me, I'm going to use the vinyl until the day I die. And when you see the show, you'll know why.
But do you see the vinyl as an educational tool?
Definitely.
For DJs?
Definitely. If you don't know how to mix on vinyl, you're not going to learn how to mix on Serato. So learn how to mix on vinyl first, and then you can go to Serato. If you want to carry 1,000 records with you, then go ahead and bring Serato, because you can bring a laptop and bring all your crates of records with you. And like I said, whatever you can do to rock the party, go ahead and do it. But I'm doing it my way, which is, I think, is the best way for me. So that's why I'm doing it with the real vinyl records.
Is the story that you actually create Egypt in half an hour true?
Yes. It's a long story, but I went to the studio to make a different record and was have my mind changed at the last minute. So I came up with, it was like different parts of records that I created. I took a piece from here and a piece from here and a piece from here and just kind of created Egypt all like real quick and put it down.
So your biggest hit was made in
right.
half an hour.
It was made like with a DJ's mind, like taking four or five records and putting them all together and made one record. Like I'm mixing a whole bunch of records in 8 minutes, whatever.
And that's with edits.
With a lot of edits, turntable tricks and edits.
Okay. We're gonna hear this Egypt, not the whole thing, but that the listeners can see what you made like 27 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Evo, nazaj smo, še zveri sta z nama Egyptian Lover in MC Jamie Jupiter, ki bosta danes na elektrolize 21 od 22 naprej v Channel Zero imela svoj performance, ki se ga po mojem res plača videti. Gre za old school imeni hip-hopa, elektra izpred 25-30 let, ki sta na sceni še zdaj in spet sedamo na angleščino in še kakšno pojemo. I heard the rumor that actually you didn't want to make a video. That MTV
right.
wants to produce your video and you turn them on.
I turned them down.
Turned them down, yes.
Well, back in the day when I started my own record label, I wanted people to buy my records. And I didn't want them to record the video on TV and not buy the record, so I turned them down thinking if I have a video, then they'll just record the video and won't even buy the record. So that kind of mindset, owning my own record label at 22 years old, I didn't want to do a video. And they wanted to do a video bad. They said they'll pay for the video, they'll shoot it, they'll do everything. But you know, being 22 years old in a company, you kind of want every dollar. And I didn't know it probably would have blew up big if I did that. But I'm kind of glad I didn't do that because I never wanted to go mainstream. I wanted to stay under the radar and just keep doing my stuff forever. And I'm glad I did that because it worked out. I wouldn't be here today if I did that.
But later on you made one video.
Yeah, I made Freakaholic video. Because it was a different style than Egypt, and I wanted to kind of promote that style and did the video for that.
What's the difference when you are performing as an MC and a DJ mm-hmm. and just a DJ to have like him to MC?
Well, I do both. I never just be a DJ and have an MC. I always DJ and perform at the same time. So I do both. Okay. So I start the show out as a DJ, and then in the middle of the show, I become an MC as well. And we both are in front of the stage doing our thing.
You toured with MIA a couple yep. of years ago. How was that tour?
That was fun. It was all her fans. They didn't announce I was going to be on the tour, on part of the tour. And when I came out, some of the young kids didn't know who I was. But by the time I finished my show, they were all you know, saying, hey, we love it. It's old school, we love it. That's where it all began, you know. That's where the beats and all that come from, the old school. And so they were really amazed by it. They were shocked.
Okay. What about you? You were actually coming from Miami? From Miami or
no.
LA?
No, I'm from LA also.
From LA also, yeah. Uh-huh, because the guys on our promotion said that you're from Miami. Miami Electro Hero.
Never been to.
Well, maybe a Miami Electro Hero, but he's from,
yeah,
LA.
From LA.
But the music, when I first did concerts in Miami, they took that style. They loved that music so much, they took that style and made the Miami bass style from
Beach Beats cool.
Breakdown and all that. And actually, Two Live Crew was from LA, it was from California. And they moved to Miami and became you know, the True Life Crew with Luke. Luke was actually a concert promoter. He's one of the guys that brought me out to Miami to do a show. And I taught him how to work the drum machine and all that kind of stuff. So they came behind that and they wrote that kind of style until forever, you know.
I read a story when you have your gig and Run DMC was in the same place.
Yeah, we
at the beginning of the 80s.
That was at Uncle Jam's Army. We hired Run DMC to come out there and do a show with us.
And you're actually telling those guys.
Well, Jam Master Jay was the DJ for Run DMC.
Yeah.
And he saw the way I did my mix style, and he was like, "Man, I've never seen anything like that. You know, on the East Coast, we do this kind of style, and you're doing this." And I kind of showed him a few little things, and he kind of took it and put it in his style.
But my question is the money issue, because you told those guys that, "Oh, I'm just one. It's all money is for me," and you're like
three.
Yeah.
And they got to split the money three ways.
Yeah.
Well, even from way back then, I always wanted to control my own thing. So I had my own record company. I had my own distribution, you know, company. And I was the artist, I was the producer, and I wanted to keep everything so I can control it. And Run DMC, you know, they were on another label and this and that, and it didn't work out money-wise for them because it was too many of them, and they had a manager and they had a label. They was getting percentages of this and that. And when they saw me making as much money as I was making, selling less records than they sold, they looked at me like, "Wow, you're doing your own thing. Wow."
You're huge at this moment in LA.
Definitely.
What about how do you see hip hop now, like classical hip hop?
Well, like you said earlier, it branched out like a tree. It grew and grew its limbs and it went all over the place. So I mean, there's all forms of hip hop. I mean, even in pop music now, there's hip hop. And rock music, there's a little bit of drum breaks and solos, and it's all kind of hip hop. There's West Coast hip hop, East Coast hip hop. There's Detroit. There's Miami. There's all kind. I mean, there's hip hop from Germany. Yeah. Hip hop has grew to another kind of music, and it's still growing. I mean, dubstep is a form of hip hop. I mean, all this is a form of hip hop.
But are there any idols that influenced your music?
I'm pretty sure Black Eyed Peas. They do a lot of stuff that sound similar to my stuff. And
you talking? He's talking about who influenced you?
You.
Who influenced me?
Yeah.
Oh well, there really weren't any hip hop groups when I first started making records. So
yeah, so some fun.
It would be like Prince and Kraftwerk. Okay. You know, Kraftwerk doing that electronic thing. That's what really pulled me into that kind of music. I wanted to make something like Kraftwerk, but had maybe a little more funk to it, so my kind of people would like it. So growing up in Los Angeles in the black neighborhood, I needed to have that Kraftwerk sound, but have more funk to it. So my black fan base would love it, my black audience would like it. So it was more of a funky Kraftwerk, and that's what I came up with. And then the Prince style, I have to keep it kind of nasty and raw. That's where the breathing came from Prince. So the that's all Prince. And I kind of put Prince and Kraftwerk together, and that's who I am.
Okay, now you're almost like 50 years old, and yep. You are still on the scene. Many of those guys from back in the days, mm-hmm. hip hop heads, they're like nowhere. They don't do nothing. They're just like creatively, they're dead.
Wow.
So is it actually an honor to you that you can play like after 30 and something years of your career?
Well, I'm just doing what I love.
In Europe, in Asia.
I'm just doing what I love, and it seems that when you do what you love, it's not really a job. You're just doing it because you love it. And I'm doing this because I love it. I mean, I get to come way out here to Slovenia and have fun. And surprisingly, I still get paid for it. I mean, I would do it for free because I love to see people dance and do this. But it became a job, but actually I'm still doing what I love.
What can we expect today?
Oh, you're going to get a wonderful show. You're going to see me mixing, scratching, playing records backwards, bringing up one in at the same time. I'm going to play the 808 drum machine. My hype man, Jamie Jupiter, is going to get the crowd rocking. And once the crowd gets nice and ready, then I will come out and perform my songs. And we're going to do dance steps from the 80s. And we're going to rock the Channel Zero Club tonight.
Okay. Some final words from your side, Jamie? No.
Egypt is the place to be.
That's right, baby.
Well, what about current situation, political situation?
Well, I'm glad that it turned out the way it turned out, and hopefully, again, Egypt will be the place to be, and it all will be all right.
Were you ever there? Were you performed in?
Never performed in Egypt. I plan to go in 2012 for the first time, so I'll be out there in 2012, just vacationing and having a good time.
Okay, I wish you a nice gig, crowded gig with good people.
I'm sure we got a lot of fans out there, and we got people coming in from Croatia, and the electro scene is gonna be big again tonight. So be there tonight. This may be the only chance you ever get to see me live, so let's do it.
Okay, thank you for coming on our radio, and
my pleasure.
Thank you guys.
And hope that everything will work out good for you in the future.
Thank you.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay. Torej, evo, Channel Zero do nas od desetih naprej, Egyptian Lover, Jamie Jupiter in domače ekipa Jaz, Okular, Šrauf in Dado, pol še malo po elektronkajo. Za konc video dela Dr. Ek oziroma Dr. Ek, več pa lahko na MySpaceih od Egyptian Lover je preberete, to je The Real Egyptian Lover na MySpaceu. Jamie Jupiter je najdete na Jamie Jupiter na MySpaceu, na Elektrolizo tudi najdete na MySpaceu pod Elektroliza. Jaz sem bil Giza, tole sta bile Egyptian Lover in Jamie Jupiter in vi ostajate na 89.3 še naprej in poslušajte in se vidimo v Channel Zero. Čau!
Intervju Radija Študent.